know, you guys look great. Turn to someone next to you and say, you look good, I don't care what anyone says. When you think about a nation like England that produced such men of God as William Tyndale, John Wycliffe, and numerous others, these men actually preserved the gospel as we know it today, the Bible that we have today. And for 2.4% to be saved, that just excites me. Because the darker the place, the greater the works God does. We look at China. China, a godless nation. And the largest revival in the world is going on right now in China. We look at our nation. And we say, well, we've kicked God out of the nation. Well, you know, when God decides to come back in, you can't stop him. They can try and keep him out all they want, but he's a whole lot bigger than their ideology. So I get excited about dark places because I know God and how he works in the dark, which leads me to the title of my message, Great Works in Dark Places. We think of God as light because he is light. He doesn't have light. He is light. But we never think of God in terms of darkness. But the greatest works God ever did, he did in the dark. We're going to look at the life of Joseph for a few moments today. Joseph, a 17-year-old boy, has a dream from God. And that dream changed his life forever. Anyone in this house have a dream? Come on, talk to me. Anyone in this house have a dream? Well, that dream is changing your life, changing your environment, changing everything. Because see, that dream or that vision or that word that you got from God, God sent from heaven, and that word contains the DNA of heaven. That word contains the determination of God to bring it to pass in your life. God's word can't return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. Get ready. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if you've given up on your dream. Your dream hasn't given up on you. Amen. Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through 11. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic or a coat, King James says, of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream. In the Hebrew, the word had a dream is pronounced this way, kalam. And it means to bind firmly, to be, to make. Joseph had a dream that bound, the dream bound itself to his life. And in doing so, Joseph bound himself to the dream. To bind firmly, to be. Joseph literally became the dream. And when you received your word from God, when you received your vision from God, when you received a dream from God, that dream bound itself to you. And we don't go by feelings. There are many of you who had dreams when you were young, and because of circumstances in life, you have given up on those dreams, but that dream is still bound to your life. Come on, talk to me, somebody. That dream is still bound to your life. You can't get rid of it. You can't escape it. So he had a dream, and he told his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for the dreams and for his words. You have to remember something. You have to use wisdom in who you share your dream with. You have to use wisdom in who you share the word of the Lord on your life with. You know, believe it or not, every believer is not out for your best interest. I know that's hard to believe. And let me take it a step further. Every leader is not out for your best interest. So he tells his brother, his family, the closest to him, and his dream ignited a hatred in them. And they hated him even more. Then he dreams still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed down to me. The sun, the moon, the 11 stars represented his 11 brothers, his mother and his father. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word today. Anoint your servant, Lord. Anoint the people's ears to hear and hearts to receive. And Father, right now I ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to be manifest in this place. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father. Breathe revelation, breathe life into your word today. And Father, I thank you in advance for everything you're about to do. In Jesus' mighty name. So he has this dream, and all hell broke loose against him. Everything he considered dear to him turned on him. His father rebuked him. Now, the Bible says that Jacob made him a coat of many colors because Joseph was Jacob's favorite, because he was a son of his old age. But we see his father rebuking him. We see the dream, the word of God, igniting something in this man who loved him, igniting something negative. The word of God has the ability to ignite a fire. And the same fire that will harden steel will melt wax. So he's in a place of dismay. And in Genesis chapter 37, verses 15 through 23, his father sends him to look for his brothers to make sure they're okay. And he goes to search for his brothers. In the 15th verse, it says this, now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in a field, a certain man. Coincidentally, there was this guy standing in this field, and he meets Joseph. And Joseph asks him the question, do you know where my brothers went? And he said, yeah, I kind of overheard a conversation that they went to Dothan. So, and when they saw, and the man said, and they departed from here. So I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, say afar off. Are you breathing? Somebody say afar off.
Far off.
When they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. See, if they could kill Joseph, they could kill his dream. But the reality of it is this. They can't kill you because your dream won't let you die. Your dream has contained within it the very DNA to bring it to pass. And your dream won't let you die. Look at someone and say, your dream's not going to let you die. But God will accomplish it in your life. Your dreams won't let you die. They saw him afar off in verse 21, but Reuben heard it and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, which is in the wilderness. And do not lay a hand on him. The pit became the womb of destiny for Joseph. Talk to me, somebody. The very pit that you've been experiencing could very well be the womb of your destiny. Verse 23, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, his coat. The coat, the tunic of many colors that was on him. See, this tunic, they stripped Joseph of. You remember a few moments ago we read, they saw him afar off. The reason they saw him afar off is because Joseph was identified with the coat. And with Joseph being identified with the coat became Joseph's identity. Many times in life, people will try and clothe us with the identity that they want us to have. Your identity is in Christ. Your identity has been determined by God and not by what man has determined. So this coat that is now Joseph's identity is stripped from him. Do you realize that identity theft is the number one crime in the United States? Wow. And identity theft is the number one crime in the church. Because the enemy is constantly on a mission to strip you of your identity. If you can, he can strip you of your identity becomes your life. Your identity becomes your job. Your identity becomes your ministry. No matter what it may be. And it's a false identity. God's identity on your life never changes. The world's identity or the church's identity on your life constantly changes. Down through the years, I've seen so many leaders and pastors that their ministry became their identity. And when something happened in their ministry, their identity was lost. God will not let anything in your life identify you but him. Your identity is in Christ. So he stripped of his coat. He stripped of his identity. In chapter 39 of Genesis, we see that Joseph is stripped again. Now you know the story. He's thrown into the pit. He's taken out of the pit. He's sold to Midianite traders. They take him and they sell him to Potiphar, who is a captain of Pharaoh's guard. And he becomes an overseer in the house of Potiphar. He has authority in the house of Potiphar. Joseph is a man of integrity. Joseph is a young man who has a good reputation. You see, God had called Joseph to oversee a nation. So God now is taking him through the process. Look at someone and say, process. Know this, that every single one of us as believers will go through the process. There is a process to get from point A to point B. There is a process in refining precious metals. There is a process in faceting diamonds. There is a process in the life of the believer that God takes you through to get you to your destiny. Joseph now is in the process. So he becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. And in Genesis chapter 39, verse 11, the Bible says this, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him, she being Potiphar's wife, caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled outside. Joseph is stripped again. Only Joseph, the first time, was stripped of his identity, and now he's stripped of his reputation. Because of a false accusation. Anyone besides me ever have a false accusation made about them? See, if the enemy can destroy your character, he can destroy your message. So now this young man who is a man of integrity, loved God, served God, now he's been accused of a crime that actually could have brought the death penalty. Now his reputation is in jeopardy. Who would trust this man to be in their house? Who would trust this man in the company of any women? So the very thing that Joseph held dear was the very thing that was stripped from him. When your reputation means more than his reputation. The Bible says that Jesus made himself of no reputation. In church, we're so often trying to guard our reputation that we won't allow God to move in our lives. It's time to shed your reputation. Time to get rid of it because it's holding you back, it's keeping you down. So he's accused of this crime. And in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20, the Bible says this. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. The word prison there also means dungeon. A place where the king's prisoners were confined. He just wasn't put in just any prison. He was put in a specific prison, where the king's prisoners were confined. And there he was in prison. Now, you have to remember the times that Joseph is living in. And the prison system in Egypt at this time wasn't like the prison system in this nation at this time. He's in a dungeon. Probably no artificial light, no natural light whatsoever. He's in total darkness. The only light that would have been there would be a torch when they decide to carry it wherever they're going to carry it, but you don't have the light turned on all the time. The prison would have been dark. It would have been wet. It would have been moldy. He wouldn't have had a bed to sleep on. He would have been sleeping on the floor. And humans are not nocturnal, but rats are. So when you're sleeping, they're awake. And when they're awake, they're hungry. And they're looking for something to eat. And you may be the only thing in front of them. So you live your life in this dark place. There's no toilet in the cell. He has been thrown into the dark. He's in the prison where the king's prisoners were confined, which moved him closer to his destiny. But in moving closer to his destiny, it drove him deeper into the dark. We look at the life of Joseph. We look at the story as we read it in Genesis, and it doesn't give a whole lot of information about the prison. But the psalmist described it. In Psalm 105, verses 17 through 19, the Bible says this: He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters and they laid him in irons until the time of his word came to pass. The time of his word. It doesn't say the time of God's word. It says the time of his word, little h, which means the time of Joseph's word. How many people here got a word? How many people here have received a word? Come on, talk to me, somebody. When God spoke that word to you, that became your word. That became your personal property. And depending on the value you place on that word will depend on how you protect it. You know, if you have jewelry, if you have money, whatever it may, whatever you may be valuable to you, you keep it in a safe place. If you go rent a hotel, you'll put your money and your jewelry in the hotel safe. You protect what is valuable in the natural. But we so flippantly look at the word of God that's been spoken over our lives. The word, your word, is the most valuable possession that you have. See, God sent you here as a word. You're a one-of-a-kind word from the mouth of God. Ephesians chapter 1 says that you were chosen in him. Who is him? The word. You were chosen in him. You were sent here as a word. You were sent here with an assignment. You were sent here with a set of instructions. And when you got born again, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, began to ignite what was already in you. Begin to kindle what was already in you. What value do you place on your word? If it's valuable to you, you'll protect it. You'll guard it. You'll guard it with your life. But Joseph is moving now closer to his destiny. He's right at the door. Joseph is 17 years old when this process starts. And he's 30 years old when he gets released from prison. He was 17 when he had the dream. And 30 years old when Pharaoh called him. This is a 13-year process he went through. He's getting closer to his destiny, but it's his destiny is driving him further into the dark. Anyone besides me ever been in the dark? God does his greatest works in the dark. God, the God of light, does his greatest works in the dark. Psalm 18, verse 11 says this: He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Psalm 139, 12 says this: Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God does his greatest works in the dark. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. God created the heavens and the earth in darkness. And then when he said, "Let light be," he turned the light on to see the creation that was made. God does his greatest works in the dark. Moses received the law in the dark. When he went to the mountain of God, the Bible said that a thick cloud, that the word thick cloud in Hebrew means to be encompassed around about with darkness. Moses receives the law in the dark. The high priest, once a year, would enter into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the Lamb for the sins of the nation of Israel. He started out in the outer court, which is natural light. He moved into the inner court, which is illuminated light, artificial light from the candlestick. He started out in light and ended up in darkness. Then he moves into the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is pitch black. The only light that's in there is when God began to manifest. You may be sitting here today and you say, "Well, I feel like my life is in the dark." It's time for you to get excited, because God does great things in dark places. God is getting ready to do something in your life that he couldn't do in the light, that he has to do in the dark. He does things in the dark because he doesn't want us to see what he's doing. If we see what he's doing, we'll try and help him. And I don't know about you, but every time I try and help God, I mess it up. Of course, that's probably only me. That's not you. The redeeming of God's crown jewel of his creation, mankind, was performed in the dark. Jesus is hanging on a cross, redeeming humanity. And the Bible says that darkness came upon the whole earth. And the process that he went through on that cross, nobody saw it but him and God. The process you're going through in your life, where you feel like darkness has encompassed you, you can see no light at the end of the tunnel. God knows what he's doing. The Bible says the good work he started in you, he will complete. God is going to finish the work he started. He does his greatest work in the dark. Had there been no resurrection, there would be no salvation. The resurrection of Christ was performed. Come on, talk to me, somebody. The resurrection of Christ was performed. In a tomb that was sealed with no light, God called him forth. God is getting ready to resurrect your dream in the dark. The very place that you are, you look and you say, my whole life is falling apart. No. In reality, your whole life is falling in place. God sees it differently than we see it. God looks at it differently than we look at it. God has you on his mind. You know, before God ever created anything, he had you on his mind. Before he ever hung the stars in heaven. Before he ever put the planets. He said, let us make man in our image. God was thinking about you first. And he hasn't changed his mind. He still loves you unconditionally. He is still going to fulfill the dream, the vision, your purpose, your destiny. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan and you're right in the middle of it. God has never given up on you. He will never give up on you. Don't give up on him. But that isn't the end of Joseph's story. Joseph is stripped of his identity. He's stripped of his reputation. Now I can't imagine what kind of condition this man would have been in. We don't know how many years he was in the dungeon, but the clothes that he started day one with were the clothes that he had on when he came out with. He wasn't shaven, so his beard, his hair, everything. He wasn't bathed because they didn't let you bathe. This is a prison. It's not a country club. They want to make your life miserable. So he smelled. Can't imagine what the food would be like. But in Genesis chapter 41, verse 14, the Bible says this, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. Prayer team, would you join me down front? He shaved, he changed his clothes, and he came to Pharaoh. Previously, someone else had taken his clothes off. But this time, Joseph has to remove his clothes. His identity was prison. Nobody can take your prison clothes off but you. Nobody can take the clothes of your history off but you. Stand to your feet. And there are people in here today who have been in prison in their mind, their emotions, the circumstances of their life. Darkness has encompassed them. But today God is saying, if I'm releasing you, it's time to come out. I have a new season for you. It's time to come out. It's a new day. It's time to come out. But you have to take off the clothing of your history. You have to remove it. And that's my invitation to you today. If you're in this house and you say, you know what? I'm not wearing these clothes one more day. I'm taking them off. I'm taking them off. I'm taking them off. Look at someone and say, take them off. Come on, talk to me. Look at someone and say, take them off. Because you can't put on the king's clothes with your prison clothes still on. So if that's you and you say, you know what? I'm getting free today. Why don't you make your way down the aisle and come down, and this wonderful prayer team will pray for you, believe with you. The greatest works that God does is in the dark. Worship team.
Tear me